As announced, our subject is concerning the depths of belief and faith, and what I wanted to use as my theme text, where Paul explains to us in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 13 and 14. 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 and 14. But we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. Of course, that's the full setting apart. And belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the attaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, that glory is that far more and exceeding eternal weight of glory that lies beyond this veil, when the trials and circumstances, joys and sorrows, many of which we had expressed during our testimony meeting, have ended. And you went into that peace, complete rest and peace with God in heaven. Also, as we know, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Once again, Hebrews 11:6. Now Paul explains that faith is the substance or the foundation upon the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's brought out in Hebrews 11:1. If we possess the things we hope for and could see the things unseen, we would not need faith. Now, we have to develop a depth of faith, as we're going to go and develop, hopefully, during our comments today. This is surrounded by circumstances, conditions, was adverse to and hidden from the view of the glorious things which God has promised. And so we need that faith. As it says in Mark 11:24 from the NASB, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted unto you. So that's the foundation of our belief in God and in his promises, which we're going to touch on a little bit later, as we said. So to believe is not only to have faith in his promises, but to believe in God himself, no matter who puts down God. And there's 500 gods in India and so forth throughout this world. We serve the true and living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we appreciate him more and more, and we see his plans and purposes being worked out in our lives. If you awoke today with a desire in accord with the Spirit and the Word of God, that you may have a foundation to believe that you are entitled to receive those blessings, you shall have them. Once again, that quote from Mark 11:24. We're desiring such things he has promised in his word. You wish to know him, to obey him, to serve him, to love him. And in so doing, you have then come to diligently seek him. My goal is Christ and Christ alone. Those can't be words. That has to be our way of life. That's every waking moment we're devoted to do those things. Then also, realize that faith is that foundation of the things we hope for. And to build upon that faith, it's that building block, as we mentioned. And also then, 2 Corinthians 2:10. 2 Corinthians 2:10. This is out of King James. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. That's again, Romans 11:36. Then, the 2 Corinthians 2:10. This verse shows the value, the need for the Holy Spirit given to those from the Lord. He's called in the way. You've been able then to understand the deep things of God. And understanding means application. I know, I had somebody at work several years ago say, I read the whole Bible. Can you tell me something that really touched your heart? I just enjoyed reading it. Wonderful stories. But we know, I'm not putting that person down, but you read, but you have to have understanding. And then again, as we said, comes the application, the hidden things of God, hidden from the world, revealed unto babes. The secret of the Lord is with them that reverence him. Psalm 25:14. Again, things made known to you by that acquiring of the Spirit of God, but more so, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of the Word. Of course, that's every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. That's what we're building upon this foundation of. It increases our faith and trust in Him, which points to our Lord Jesus, who willingly laid down His life in service to the Father. It shows His good and acceptable and perfect will concerning us now and forever. We are having the building blocks of our future life laid now. I think the Holy Spirit is that word of truth that cements those blocks together. And we're going upward. We're having our eyes on things of heaven, turning away from the things of this world, as we know, we've studied many times, either the past times of an hour. So the depths of our belief and faith come from the acknowledgement of the thoughts expressed in Romans 11:16. Romans 11:16. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. True rewards to us. So everything we do is to bring praise and glory to God, not of self. Put away self and selfish interests. Heavenly Father provides just what we need in our daily lives. And just when we need it. You hear a word in a discourse or something in a study and it sparks your mind to go on and search more and to know His will. And we've said it before, but there'd be a testimony given, and that it brings you to an understanding, sympathetic high priest, to those of the household of faith. And also, how many of you have sat in a discourse and words were spoken like they were spoken just to you? Can I get some water? I think I see some. Sorry. Pardon me. So spoken just for you. And you have that understanding and you grasp those things. You want to do His will. The water of His word, the meat in due season, even the finest of the wheat from His rich storehouse. Excuse me. Psalm 147:14. And I think too, a couple years ago, I gave a discourse here. Now we talk about strong meat, and I really think we have a lot said about love. And these are dovetailing together. But one of the strongest meats that we can partake of is love, brotherly love. I think it's one of the final tests of the household of faith. Do you love your brother? You want to embrace them? You want to share words of kindness and consolation and hope and encouragement? We had that expressed earlier. We must do that if you are to please the Heavenly Father. So that's strong meat. Laying down your life in sacrifice. These are against the fleshly tendencies. It's not a natural thing to lay down your life. It's not a natural thing to ask for forgiveness and grow and develop and apply those things. Because the Lord gives us so many rich blessings each day. And we have to take hold upon those. And then again, with that comes this from Luke 12:48. For unto whom much is given, what? Much is required. It's a daily life of sacrifice. It's examining yourself daily, not just one time a year. Am I living up to my vow of consecration? Am I serving the truth? Am I comforting and encouraging my brethren? We must do that each day. And again, each day during our daily lives, we're encouraged to apply the things that we have been taught by God's Word. The promised grace for help in time of need. Everything we have furnished for us in that book, the Bible, the Holy Word of God. Which again, these things, this Word of truth came down through His Son, through the Father of lights to us. He's opened up our eyes of understanding to see and do His will. And so, we're continuing to develop that depth of belief and faith in Him. And we must do that. How thankful we are we have been called of God and included with the few have found this truth. Matthew 7:14. We had that mentioned earlier today, I believe. His truth, the cross bearing, making progress along that narrow way, not with a downhearted disposition and a frown, but joyfully. Once again, I've said it before, so if I'm repeating myself, please excuse me, but God called each of you to the household of faith because He saw something in you that could be used in His body, the body members of Christ, a talent, an energy, an understanding, an aspect of your character that you wanted to shape in character likeness of the Lord. So, He's called you to duty, to service, to application, to trust, to faith. And that must deepen as you go on each day, you're privileged to walk this narrow way. And then we realize that we run for that prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And you gladly say, as it says in Philippians 3:14, forgetting those things that are behind, we do this. Of course, when we say that, we understand we can't do anything about yesterday, the last hour, last year, 10 years ago, except pray for forgiveness if we did a wrong to somebody. But we can do something about now, this moment, tomorrow if we have it. And we have to set that course, that eye, looking up to heaven. Because our light is shining as on a mountaintop that can't be hidden. We're approaching that light of the gospel. Our understanding open to know and do God's will. And we have to really help our efforts. And I have a couple points here. The first is avoiding self-satisfaction. Well, I did a great job. Yeah, pat me on the back. Right? The world craves that attention. We vow to give it up. It doesn't mean we'll say a kind word to somebody. I enjoyed your discourse or that thought in the meeting. But we don't say that. Wasn't my thought wonderful? You see that in the world. You do. We're striving not to do that. Having a singleness of purpose. Again, this one thing I do, I press on to that mark. But that one thing has many things under it that involve that, right? We see that each day. We form good habits of thought. Philippians 4:8. We practice forgiveness, as we mentioned already. You know, it's easy to want to be forgiven by somebody, but harder to forgive somebody. It is. It's against human nature. How am I going to look to that person? What are they going to think of me? That's the old man. That's the old mind. I'm going to put those things down. Are these easy things to do? They are not. That's why it's a narrow way. Few there be that find it. We have to rid ourselves of those things that bog us down from making progress. And then, you practice that forgiveness, as we said, and you have an energetic zeal above all. And we've had it mentioned in the testimony meeting and during our conversations. I remember that sister or brother, they had a zeal for the Lord. They dedicated their life to service. They always wanted to take part in study. And they made good comments. And they helped us along the narrow way. And then the seventh point, I think you could figure out what it is. We've mentioned it several times today. Love. Right? Love. Love should be the motivation for all that we do in our lives. As we said, we didn't practice, it's been said, what we're going to say to each other and say, what are you talking about? No. But I just think that this was not an accident. It had, to me, it didn't have anything to do with Valentine's Day. It's just love, love, love. It binds us together. We had about overlooking differences of opinion when that really mean that much. And serving God with that singleness of purpose, a loving heart disposition, that's what we want to do. So it's a motivation for all that we do. It was a motivation for Heavenly Father to give His only begotten Son, the greatest gift that was ever given. It's overlooked by the world in general. And in 2 Peter 1:5-11, we're not going to read that all. 2 Peter 1:5-11. We have a revealing outline of the conditions upon which we may base our faith in the fact that God's precious promises belong to us because we have been accepted into His church. And you know these. We're supposed to add to our faith fortitude, knowledge, self-control, patience, brotherly kindness, reverence. And again, there's love. Love is so important. God is love. It's a fulfilling of the law. And we have to develop it if we are ever to please Him. So we're progressing. Our depths of our faith and belief are progressing up to reach the mark of perfect love. And when we get that far, if faithful, we'll learn and enjoy the Lord. And we're letting that work go on in us. So, The power of the Holy Spirit will develop these qualities of the Christian character. And again, it takes an effort to do these things. It can't be just words, it has to be actions. We all know that. I'm putting out things in my life that I know I need to develop more. Love and loyalty to Jesus' disciple, tested by their call to walk contrary to the world. And we realize, we've heard it expressed, the sound of a hammer is not heard in the building of this temple. It's not known to the world that you're leading life of sacrifice. They may see your good example. They don't understand what your goal is. But you do. We do. For each other. We know that there are things in store for us that go beyond human comprehension. And we put into practice the words from 1 Corinthians 10:31. 1 Corinthians 10:31. And once again, we alluded to them earlier. Do all things to the glory of God. All things. So, if we find we're making progress along those lines, that's a testimony of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Our hearts, our new minds, our embryonic new creatures in Christ Jesus. The testimony of the Spirit of God. It's reflected also in those wonderful promises of His Word. And they enter into our hearts. And they've molded our lives. Some of us who were raised in what we call the truth, so to speak, we know that we heard those from a youth. But we had to make those our own. Respond to that call. Give me thine heart. And have that Holy Spirit to understand them. So we're submissive, though, to our molding and shaping and chiseling process that's going on daily in our lives. Totally submissive to Him. We've seen an analogy made to a gemstone being quarried. Even a precious stone like a diamond. Now, when that diamond's in the master crafter's hand, he views it and he sees flaws. But he still is able to chisel, polish that stone to reflect the brilliance of the light. And when held in the light with the many facets, it reflects the light back to God. So he overcomes our shortcomings and weaknesses by the robe of righteousness. And he gives us a standing before God, considers us perfect under that robe, the blood of Jesus, and can work with us. We don't resist it, but we want to be totally submissive to that. Now, how good it is to know that the Heavenly Father is watching over every event of your life. Every event. And I think also, that's brought out in Psalm 91:1. He's watching over you. He assured His watch care and love for you through His promises, Galatians 3:22. But the Scripture hath concluded all our sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. And we all have to comply really to those righteous requirements. Again, to whom much is given, much is required. Even your life itself, your earthly inheritance, anything that would you think of value rightfully belongs to the Lord. And you all have, I'm sure, a special promise. Just think about that. What special promise comes to your mind as you think about the promises from God? Maybe it's a highway of holiness. It's important to me because the work that I did, the way of holiness from NESV in verse 8 of Isaiah 35, because I work with handicapped, brain-injured people, children, and one day that occupation won't be needed. That grand physician arises with healing in His beams, in His wings. He cures all of earth ills, which are deep and many. But those things will pass away. Truly, as it says in Psalm 40, verse 5 from the NASB, Psalm 40, verse 5. I know you're familiar with these words. Truly, many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which You have done. And Your thoughts toward us, again, toward us who believe, and eventually the whole world will come to an understanding. There is none compared with You. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. So, the promises of God are really potent factors in our life. The life of a Christian puts the power of the Lord. So powerful that Peter said in 2 Peter 1:4, that are yielding to their blessed implications, whereby you are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. That is, we are being prepared, made ready for the exaltation of the divine nature. So, again though, what we alluded to earlier, Hebrews 4:1, in that text, Apostle Paul urges us to be on alert so we don't come short of any of those promises of the Lord that he has made on our behalf. So practically, really all of the Lord's promises have conditions attached to them. Now, you study, you do these things, you trust in me, you love me, and there comes, that's the promise, I will reward you for these things. And it's a faithful compliance of these things, conditions attached to the promises, which would then qualify us to be partakers of that divine nature. Abundant entrance in the everlasting kingdom of God in the heavens. Everlasting kingdom. Now, we had the privilege of going to Australia last year for 30 days in a pilgrim trip. And if you want to see a sky that's so bright in the Southern Cross, and do you ever look at the starry night and think about God's wonderfulness, his grandness, his wisdom, his power? And to see those stars, thinking that those who have gone beyond the veil have risen up to that, and they have been rewarded, star different than star from than glory, but they have that glory. And you can't help but marvel at his plans and purposes, his promises, and think of those things. And along the line with that, in the world today, we have, in Orlando, when I first went there 40 years ago, you could see a lot of stars. You can't see hardly any right now. The wash of civilization. And that's clouded really the view of people. Worldly ambitions, aims, desires, understanding has clouded the true star that's shown to the shepherds, right? We mentioned it's one of the top good times of great joy to be to all people. All people. It's so wonderful to think you could have a part in that. Bringing mankind up the highway of holiness to know the Lord. And also to trust in him. So again, we know by nature we're sinners. One of Brother Russell's thing said, I forget where I got it from, every day we're in close contact with our imperfections. And there are those around about us who aren't displeased to point them out to us. Right? But you don't strike back at that person as the world would do. Thank you. I didn't know I was coming off that way. That I had that implication or way of tone of my voice. So, we're not pure God. Because those weapons that are out there, the adversary is a roaring lion, the devil, but also he uses subtleties to beguile us, to draw our attention away. We have to be on guard against those things so much. He's looking for that little crack to come in and plant falsehoods, to use pride, to use arrogance, to take us away from the focus that we have. This, again, this one thing I do, as we mentioned. So, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment shall thou condemn. And it's the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Isaiah 54:17. So again, everything we have, we are, we can be, comes from the Lord. From the Father of lights to us through his Son. And we share those experiences. Again, one Lord, one hope, one faith, one baptism, one God who is the Father of all and in you all. It's important. It's that heritage. The righteousness of the Lord comes down to us, as we mentioned. It's a proper recognition, then, to keep us humble in service to the Lord. Humbleness. Not to be built up. But again, we stand before him. It's not of our own merit, but Christ. The robe of his righteousness, Isaiah 61:10. Paul confirmed this in his letter to Titus, where he writes, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, He saved us by washing of the regeneration, a renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Christ Jesus our Savior. That's Titus 3, 5 and 6. And truly, one of those promises is that we are made partakers of divine nature. It's encouragement, and it comes from the authority of the Scriptures. And so, there is no possible circumstance, though, in our life that Christ has not foreseen. We had it mentioned today. He could read the thoughts. He knew what was coming before it came. He knows what we need, as we said earlier, and when we need it. But what does he want us to do? Come to him at the throne of heavenly grace. He knows our weaknesses, but we guide me, direct me. Let my words be in the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Come to me in prayer. I will never leave you or forsake you. I'm there to answer it. No matter if it's a very small matter in your life or a great matter in your life, you take it to him in prayer. And I am so, big on this. An active prayer life is so important. And through that, the Heavenly Father sees your depth of belief and faith in him. Again, without me, you can do nothing. But with me, you can be more than an overcomer. You can prevail. And that's why it is necessary to give all diligence. Again, 2 Peter 1:5. We have that approach of a Christian life. And if we have the attitude of heart that we should have, we can gain a victory over the flesh. You know, there's that scripture, though. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, right? But you know, there's one thing. Self. Self can stand in the way. No? It can. And that's what we have to fight. We have to fight that good fight of faith. Prayerful consideration. Help me. Lift me up. Let me seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness again, and all those things will be added unto you. We're familiar words we've mentioned from Matthew 6:33. Put away selfish interests. Praise and honor the Lord. Speak words of comfort and praise and adoration. Give glory to God in all things, and you will please him. That's our desire, as we said. Now, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 7:1, that if we do these things, these promises, we should cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, and then to perfect holiness in the fear or reverence of God. This is that hope, based upon the promises of God. It's our motivating factor. Purify yourselves, 1 John 3:3. And all we have to say also, though, we have the evidence of the possession of the promises of God. We truly inherit them. And I think through the teachings of our Lord especially, but then those who have the privilege of meeting with over these years, those who have been our mentors, our teachers, our Sunday school leaders, we saw their example. You know, there's a thing in the world, there's no good role models. Our Lord Jesus and the church, those are our role models. We see their compassion, their understanding, the depth of their love. And I'm sure we all have somebody in mind who really affected our lives in many, many ways. And we're thankful for their example to us. And to have this hope based upon those promises of God, purify yourselves. Keep pushing on. The way to live is to live for Christ, and to die is gain. Again, Philippians 1:21 from the Diaglot. So, conditions attends to promises, patient faith and inheritance of the promises. Hebrews 6:12. We demonstrate an act of service, an act of faith. Now, Brother George Aldridge, you remember George Aldridge? He used to say, you can't have that lazy boy mindset where you're sitting back and letting everything come to you with your feet up. No, your feet are swift on errands for the Lord. Service, that's your goal. You're standing before God. And you're using the eyes of faith in your life. Always remember that. What a wonderful example. And he went through a lot in his life, as we all do. But again, each experience helps the body get closer to the marriage and become the Christ head and body to bless all the families of the earth. Again, time, talent, energies are all different ones. They're manifested in their worthiness to the promises. And again, to that future inheritance beyond the veil, which we all long for. To see the Master face to face, to see Him as He is. And these promises of God, they have to be firm in our hearts and minds. We must believe on them and, again, apply them, as we said, in our lives. Now, we go on, we want to serve Him and trust in Him. And we realize that at the same time, see, we can see in all these, the harmonious aspect of the Scriptures. He not only calls you, and as we had expressed earlier, sets your feet upon that solid rock, Christ, but He helps you to go on a narrow way. He gives you the armor to defend the adversary's darts and arrows. And you're fully equipped to have those things come to you, toward us. 2 Corinthians 6:7. Put on that whole armor. And then, not only provided the armor, but a fortress. As David wrote, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." Psalm 91:1-2. So trust, fully trust. And we could, again, we know, we've heard it expressed so many times, we could never overcome the adversary by ourselves. We're going to lose. But if we trust in Him, He's there. He's there for encouragement. And then He wants us, as I mentioned, pass that encouragement on to those brethren of most like precious faith. And let your light shine in this world that you can dispel darkness and doubt and discouragement. Those are tools of the adversary. Anybody here never had any doubt or discouragement in their life? We're humans. We're going to have it. But how do we handle that? We press on. And maybe you've heard it expressed before, but many brothers have told me, and I saw it myself, when you visit somebody in the hospital who's you know, toward the end of their days, the hospital staff said, you know, they've been joyous people to work with and to be with. They have let their light shine. Again, to give glory to the Heavenly Father. So He makes every provision for us to be glorious, fighting that good fight of faith and warfare. Endure again the tendencies of the flesh, the fallen nature. That's the basis for our hope. We follow that which is good. And if you do that, it says in 1 Peter 3:13-15, the things will not harm you. You're sheltered. You're under a shadow of His wing. And you're in the hollow of His hand. It's assuredness to us that the Heavenly Father gives, that He'll be with us, He'll comfort us, He'll uplift us, He'll guide us. Because what? He's preparing you for future work. As we mentioned, each body member, rightly fit together, has a role. I'm not supposed to digress too much, Sister Vicky told me, but I remember in a study, we're blessed in Orlando. We have 6 or 7 elders every year. And they all gave their little turn at talking. I was one of them. And little sister, 94 years old, who sat on Brother Russell's lap as a child, was baptized at age 12. She gave like a 2-minute comment that solved everything. She wasn't an elder, but she was a teacher. She gave that comment from her heart, and everything fit together. What a blessed privilege of that. So we all have our part. We have our role. The Christ hand and body will bring blessings to all the families of the earth, and we follow in the Lord's footsteps. In the acceptable time I have heard thee. In the day of salvation I have helped thee. And I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of all the people to establish the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth to them that are in darkness, show yourselves, and their pastures shall be in the high places. Isaiah 49:8-9. The Christ head and body brings blessings to the families of the earth. There will be no more doubt, sorrow, sign. Those things will pass away. Our experiences, again, develop the depth. It's that. It's like in the 23rd Psalm, the still waters, but they're not stagnant. They're pure waters with depth. And you drink that in, and your body's revitalized. Your new creature grows. It feeds on the Word and progresses up that way, the narrow way. So, in keeping with this promise that our Lord gave to us through the power of His might, strong in the Lord, He said, "He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, I will give power over the nations," Revelation 2:26. "And I'll grant to those that do this to sit with me in my throne," Revelation 3:21. Now, dear brethren, as our time is getting short, my prayer for you is that you'll continue to seek the pure, refreshing water of His Word, that you'll develop more depth of understanding and application of what you hear. Your faith gets stronger and stronger each day. And that you strive to be a good example of upholding the banner of truth, spreading the gospel message of good tidings of great joy. With your whole heart, serve Him in all things. Trust in Him. Believe on His Word. Apply those things. Continue to abide under the shadow of His wing. And may the Lord shine His countenance upon you and give you peace. Numbers 24 to 26. So trust in Him. Continue to deepen your faith in Him and the Lord Jesus through studying, through fellowship with those of like precious faith. And gather my saints together, Psalm 50, verse 5. "Those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice." You have a sincere heart desire for the welfare of your brethren. And so, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with the power through His Spirit in the inner man. Now, that new creature developing. You had a heart of stone, it's turned to a heart of flesh that can have compassion, understanding, and faithfulness. So Christ may dwell in you through faith, deeply grounded in Him, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints, whether that breadth and length and height and depth, and to say this, "The love of God which surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled up with the fullness of God." That's the NASB from Ephesians 3:14-17. And that you can partake of the fullness of wheat and digest it properly for new creature development. And also, make your calling election sure, that you be furnished with everything you need, that the promise of faith in Jesus Christ might be given to you that believe, Galatians 3:22, that Christ in you, the hope of glory, will become a reality, and you will see Him face to face, crowned with glory, honor, and immortality, Revelation 2:10. And may the Lord add His blessing. Bless you all, dear ones.